Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew 22, a young man came to Jesus. He was a lawyer. And he asked him this question. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first, that is to say, the premier and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this love relationship with God is what God is really after. Notice all the things God could have said and didn't. God could have said, you'll be righteous. God could have said, you will never sin. God could have said, you're going to do all you can for me. God could have said a whole lot of things. But what he did say was, you'll love God, basically with everything you got, and you will love your neighbor the way you love yourself. The purpose behind everything that exists is the love of God. Because God is love in 1 John 4:16, and because if you read the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 4 through 7, you'll find that love is entirely an activity. It's either something that you do or it's something that you do not do. Some of it is mental, but some of it is overt. For example, love suffers long in its patience and is kind in verse 4. Love starts with two activities. One of them is mental, one of them is outward. The mental and the outward one are actually the same activity, except one is the mental part of it and the other is the outward part of it. And so, love is this activity. And then there are certain activities that love is not. For example, love isn't a show-off. Love is not puffed up. It's not rude and so on. Love thinks no evil. So there are things that love is, and that's really a couple of things. The first two are given. And then also we hear that in verse 7, love bears all things and believes all things, which is the Philippians 4:8, believes the best in all things, and hopes all things and endures all things. So there we have what love is. In between there, we have what love is not. But love is always an expression. Love is always an activity. And at the same time, God says, this is the number one thing, that you love God and that you love people. He's not looking for anything else. He's looking for you to love God, and he's looking for you to love people. Now, the only possible way for you to do that in 1 John 4:19 is to receive the love of God for yourself. There's absolutely no way that you can produce love in and of yourself. And the reason is, because Romans 7 says that apart from the Holy Spirit, there's nothing good that dwells in us. And so nothing good cannot produce the love of God, but the Holy Spirit, that's His fruit. So what you have is a gift that's given to you by the Holy Spirit of the love of God, if you are willing to be Spirit-filled. That is the most important thing you have, is your relationship through love with God. Your relationship with God must be a love relationship, because He is love. You can't have a relationship with God assuming that God is something other than what He is. Your relationship with God must always be a love relationship because of who he is. And also because of why you exist. He created you to express love to you. That's it right there. You have been created to be the recipient of God's love. Being the recipient of God's love is the most important possession you have, the love of God. The most important thing you have in your life is that love relationship with God. Young people, never turn your back on your relationship with God. There's a lot of people who do. For various reasons, it is never, not once, is it ever beneficial in the outcome. It's very bad. It will damage you. It will harm you. It will never build you. But people do it sometimes. Sometimes people will give away the love of God for their lust patterns. They want to sin. They want something apart from God, something that is sin, something that God would give them if it were done correctly, but because they choose to do it apart from him, it's not possible to do it correctly. God calls it sin, and certain sins in Galatians chapter 5 will keep you from going to heaven if you continue in those sins. It's not that you would lose your salvation. It's that they indicate that you never possessed salvation to begin with. And so you have to be careful about that. Never trade your love relationship to God. Your faith in Galatians 5:6 depends on your love relationship to God. Your joy depends on your love relationship to God. The health of your relationships depends on your love relationship to God. The contentment you have in life depends on your love relationship to God. Sometimes people run away from the love of God because they think God will be mad at them for sin. I got news for you. God is never mad at anyone for sin. How can I say that? Because in Revelation 13:8, the blood, which is part of the slain lamb's process of being slain, well, the slain lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, and the blood was part of that. So the blood was shed from the foundation of the world. The blood has always been in place to remove sin. The only sin that God is ever angry at is the rejection of the Holy Spirit's ministry to get you saved. And that's it. Now, I'm not saying that God won't chastise. I'm not saying God won't discipline. I'm not saying that God winks at sin at all. What I am saying is it won't make him angry, even though it might make him discipline you. He won't reject you, even if he has to discipline you, any more than a good parent will reject a child just because they have to discipline them. No, a good parent will discipline the kid because a good parent loves the kid. Well, God will discipline us because God loves us. Simple as that. But that love, that never goes away. Now, even for people who turn away from the love of God, the love never goes away. The benefit that comes with it, they forsake it. So God keeps trying to draw them with love. God keeps trying to love them. God keeps trying to encourage them with love. God keeps trying to get their attention with love. And they just won't have any part of it. They said, no, I'd rather have this. Well, whatever is not of faith is sin, right? So what are you going to do in Romans 14:23? If it's sin, the blood of Christ is going to cleanse it. And if the person has never gotten saved, and if they can live a lifestyle of certain types of sins, then they're not saved. Never have been. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, I never, not once ever in time, knew you, to those who are not saved. Their entire life got removed by the blood of Christ because their entire life was sin. Love is what makes faith function. Your faith is an amazing thing. It's the richest experience you can have as a human being is a life of faith. What troubles people is that this old sin nature that they have says to them, how about that? And it makes things glitter. It's like a chocolate Easter bunny. It looks good, but there's nothing to it. And sin is kind of like that. It can look good, but there is something to this, and it's not good. The wage of sin is death. And so you don't want to pay that price. What you'd rather do is enjoy your love relationship with God, because that is the most fulfilling experience any human being can possess. The reason being is that's what we were designed for. A person that is receiving the love of God is living in their design. A person who is receiving the love of God is living in God's purpose for them. A person who's receiving the love of God is the person who's being conformed to the likeness of Christ in Romans 8:29. The most important thing that you possess is that love relationship to God. So protect it, foster it, make it grow, take care of it. Don't let anything come in your way between you and that love relationship with God. Once you have that, you don't need anything else, because it is absolutely everything. God says, don't worry about what you'll eat or drink. I'll take care of it. God says, I supply all your needs. God says, if you don't have a family, I'll put you in a family. God says that if you're fatherless, he will be a father to you. God says that whatever you need, whatever provision, whatever, even financial. If you need a house, God will give you a house. You need a car, God will give you a car. You need a job, God will give you a job. God takes care of the whole thing, but the one thing that he desires from you, my son, give me your heart. Why? So that you can enjoy the fullness of that love relationship to God. Give me your heart. I'm not going to break it. I'm not going to do anything difficult. I'm not going to harm it. I'm going to fill it with the love of God, with the word of God, with the promises of God, with the hope of God. I'm going to fill it with everything that I have to give to you. I'm going to go above and beyond in Ephesians 3:20. Or anything you can ask or think. But I want your heart so that that love relationship can exist. Once that's in place, it flows out of you. In Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another fulfills the law. All these people who are trying to fulfill the law, all these people who are trying to be religious, all these people who are trying to be just so good before God, you don't need to. Get to know the love of God, and all of those things are taken care of. The one who loves fulfills the law. Sit right there. The one who loves fulfills the law. Why? Love suffers long in its patience and its kind. It doesn't envy. It's not self-oriented. It's not puffed up. It doesn't parade itself. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't look for anybody's harm. It doesn't seek for its own. It doesn't get provoked. It doesn't think evil things. It doesn't take any joy in self-orientation, but it loves the truth. And then it's able to endure anything. It can believe God for anything. It can have confident expectation for anything. And it can endure absolutely anything. Why? It's the love of God. That's why. That's the love of God. The love of God is so powerful that Christ was motivated to create the entire universe just to express it. And the great expression of it was the cross. Owe no man anything but to love. And the reason is because the second commandment is just like the first one. Love your neighbor as yourself. On that is what the prophets and the law are based. That's it right there. Owe no man anything but to love. Now, it's not like, it's not affection, it's not emotion. Sometimes people say, I don't like them, how can I love them? Because you don't have to like them to love them. Love is a decision, it's an action. Liking is an emotion, it's an appreciation. The two aren't related. They're completely independent of one another. You may like them, you may not like them, but you can still love them. You can still have long-suffering patience and kindness, and everything else flows out of that. In everything you do, or in all things just in general, anything that comes your way, anything that people do to you, anything that you want to respond, you want to say it, you want to do it, ask yourself this. And really, this is the one question that matters. Does this line up with divine love? Does my choice, does my thought, do my words, does my self-image line up with divine God's love? If it does, you're fine. If it doesn't, don't go there. If my self-image is not the beloved of God, then change your self-image. You've got a false self-image. You've accepted a lie. Start looking for the truth. You'll find it in the Word of God, and you will find the love of God there as well. Let that be what you are about. You don't have to strive to produce the love of God. You simply receive it in 1 John 4:19, and then you let it flow out of you. It's like overflowing a cup. It takes no effort, but you do have to receive it first. And once you've received it, love will do its own thing. I'm not saying you'll do your own thing. Love will do its own thing in you. And that is powerful. Now, here's the thing. In order to have a relationship with God, in Psalm 119:165, you have to have a relationship with His Word. It says there, great peace have they that love your law. It should really be word. It's not Mosaic law, it's precepts. Great peace have they that love your word, and nothing causes them to stumble. Now, how is that possible? They think, well, I can still sin. Keep in mind, whatever is not of faith is sin. But love gives life to faith. And so, when you possess the love of God, how are you going to possess it? By having a relationship with God. If you're going to have a relationship with God, the only way to go about that is to have a relationship with His Word, with the Word of God. Have a relationship. Young people, learn this. Have a relationship with your Bible. Have a relationship with your Bible. I'll say it again. Have a relationship with your Bible. that does mean you pick it up and you read it. You take it to church with you. You follow along. Paul said to the Thessalonians when they looked into the scriptures to see if what he was saying was correct, he didn't say, what do you mean doing that? He said, that is a very smart thing to do. Have a relationship with your Bible. Read it, love it, get to know it, eat it, masticate it. Have a relationship with your Bible. That's what you come to church for, is to teach you how to have a relationship with your Bible. Why? Because in John 1:14, your Bible became alive. It's not just a book. It's not just somebody who printed a book and put it together and put it out there. No, this is much different than that. God gave it to us in the form of a book, but that's the only similarity that it has with a book. It is the Word of God. God wanted us to know His thoughts, so He had them written down, so that we could know His thoughts. If you're going to love God, the only way to do it is to love His Word. If you're going to receive the love of God, the only way to do it is to receive it from His Word and the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, when it's applied, is what develops the love of God in you. Sometimes people lament having difficult situations in their life, things that challenge them, things that test them, things that they say, oh, I can't deal with this. It's making me nuts. What am I going to do? I feel overwhelmed. You know, all of that has a purpose. People don't like it because their emotions respond to the situation rather than to God and the promises of God through the Word of God. They respond to the situation with their emotions, and their emotions have nothing good to respond to there, so they feel terrible, they feel stressed, they feel like they're at the end of the rope, whatever they feel like, it doesn't really matter, it's all kind of the same thing, it's just their emotions. You want healthy emotions, go to the Word of God, that'll fix your emotions. There's nothing as healthy for the emotions as a good dose of the love of God. The reason why challenges come is so you can see God in action as God loves you. The best place to learn the love of God is in the most difficult circumstances. And then people who are emotionally oriented think to themselves, oh, great. I don't want that. You're still stuck in the mud. The best way to learn the love of God is through challenges, difficult circumstances, things where you're just not able. Because God is faithful. He's faithful because He loves, and He's faithful to reveal His love and all its benefits to you. And there's no better place for that to be revealed than difficult circumstances. The greatest thing you possess is a love relationship with God. Young people, protect it with everything you have. Nurture it, foster it, build it, protect it. Because there's nothing that exists that's more valuable than that. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."